Well, welcome back into Sports Talk, the second half on this Thursday, August the 20th. Steve Geller and Charlie Long with you till 8 p.m. as always. Before we get into some more football talk, want to let all you baseball fans know out there, mark your calendars. This Saturday, Madisonville's very own and former LSU superstar Cade Anderson officially getting the call to the major leagues. Seattle Mariners calling up the 22-year-old southpaw straight from the AA Arkansas team. He's set to make his big league debut Saturday at home in Seattle against the Chicago Cubs. Remember, Seattle selected him third overall in the draft last year, and MLB's pipeline already has him ranked as the number five prospect in all of baseball. For everyone listening across the North Shore and Tiger Nation, this comes as no surprise. From his high school's days at St. Paul's to leading LSU to that incredible 2025 national title as the College World Series most outstanding player. Cade's done nothing but dominate in AA this season. Mind-boggling 1.20 ERA, 119 strikeouts, just 82 innings of work. And get this, he hasn't allowed a single run since July 3rd, Charlie.
So I'm seeing the numbers from minorleaguebaseball.com. 10-1 record, a 1.06 ERA, in 18 starts, once again, a 10-1 record, 93.1 innings pitched, 135 strikeouts, and a 0.64 whip, walks and hits per innings pitched. Why does it have to be the Mariners?
I saw the Mariners were calling up Cade, I'm like, great news, but I know Charlie's not going to like it.
Yeah, I'm just an Astros homer. It's okay. I'm rooting for Cade. I think he's going to be awesome. You know, the comp that I see come up time and time again when talking about Cade Anderson is actually one of your pitchers right now, Steve. It's Max Fried.
Okay, he's hurt.
Yeah, but like high-end lefty starter, a reliable guy that's just got really good stuff. Cade Anderson was obviously one of the biggest pieces of LSU's national championship winning roster a couple of years ago. It was him and Anthony Ianson, who also actually got traded recently in that Baltimore Orioles trade where Adley Rutschman got sent to the Boston Red Sox. So those two guys were amazing. They were so much fun to watch. It was like a 1A, 1B, two-man punch. But, I mean, Cade got picked top three for a reason. He should have been the number one overall pick in that draft, but the Washington Nationals are a cheap organization. They decided to go with, you know, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, I think it was the Nationals and the Angels that both had picks above the Mariners.
Yeah.
The Mariners had the third overall selection. So there were two different teams that said no to Cade Anderson for whatever reason. And shockingly enough, the Mariners are like, oh, the best player in this draft fell into our laps. Let's go ahead and take him. And guess what? He has been torching the minor leagues. It's not a shock at all to see him get called up this soon. Best of luck to him, except for when he plays my Astros.
Well, best of luck to him, but the Seattle's kind of making a push right now, and they're just 4.5 games behind your Astros.
Yeah, I don't know.
you're like, whatever.
The AL West is terrible. I think the first team to reach, 85 wins is going to win that division. But at that point, you're in the postseason, and anything can happen once we get to the MLB playoffs. We talk about that all the time, Steve, as baseball fans. We've seen it happen in the past. But Cade Anderson, it's kind of like, I don't think this is them pushing to make it to the playoffs or anything like that. I think this is just them saying, all right, our top prospect has been killing it in the minors. Let's give him a shot at kind of getting some major league starts under his belt at the end of the season before we go into 2027 with him penciled in as one of our top guys, top line starters.
Speaking of LSU pitchers, man, what's going on with our guy Paul Skeens? He has not been that dude this year.
Velo's down, man. It's kind of concerning.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard the amount of 98, 99 plus mile per hour pitches per start throughout his career has taken a significant nosedive. And it was also strange because they gave him a little bit of extra rest ahead of this last start.
Right.
Still didn't really do much for him. So I worry that something's wrong. Obviously, the numbers kind of back that up. And, you know, he may be in store for some procedure this offseason to try and get things right. Because, like you said, it's not the Paul Skeens that we're used to seeing.
No, he's definitely, I'm seeing getting the strikeout numbers, but the runs has been given up too much there. 3.95 ERA right now.
Which, if you look at his history and his time as a starting MLB pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's been sub 2. So it's effectively doubled this season. And once again, when you look at the velo numbers taking a nosedive, you can kind of see that, like, and you can follow the trail there and see why he hasn't been having the success that he's had in the past. So I don't have any kind of definitive answer to what is wrong with Paul, but you can definitely tell that something's up.
Yeah, sadly, I haven't gotten to watch him pitch much, if at all, really, this season.
Seen him a couple times. Unfortunately, the times that you do get to see him, like, I remember there was they played the Brewers a couple weeks ago on national television, and I got to watch that game, and it didn't go very well for Paul. And that was the discussion entering the matchup, is just like, you know, can Paul get things right against what was at that time, and I think still may be the team with the best record in the MLB right now, with the Milwaukee Brewers. And it didn't go great for him again. So it was just one of those things, like, oh man, the kind of boulder continues to roll downhill for him here as we get to the end of the season. And, you know, hopefully they can figure out what's going on, and get things right as entering, I guess, 2027. Even if there's going to be baseball in 2027.
I can't say even don't jinx it. It's just, it seems inevitable right now. And hopefully that's not the case.
But yeah, I mean, I guess just wrapping this up, just happy for Cade. I am disappointed that the two goofball organizations that were in front of the Mariners in the 2025 MLB draft declined to take the best player in the draft, but the Mariners are now benefiting. He's going to be a very, very strong, top-of-the-line rotation MLB pitcher, and I would not be shocked at all to see him torture my Astros for years to come.
Got some interesting preseason action going on tonight. Week two of the preseason will start with the Raiders taking on the Texans. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. And then later on the NFL Network, a 9 p.m. kickoff, 49ers and the Chargers duking it out. We'll see, obviously, which starters end up playing this games, if any. But, you know, it's getting that time, too. We had our Fantasy Frenzy segment every Wednesday now, going to be here on WWL, where you're curious to see how guys are doing in the preseason to gauge your fantasy football rosters. A guy, Charlie, I'm really high on going in this year and hoping he can stay healthy because he's my holdover in my keeper league, is Omarion Hampton, the Chargers running back. He's just going to cost me a fifth-round pick this year.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
No, Omarion Hampton is someone that I think is going in like round two of drafts right now. He's right. One of those, he's not, you know, the Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs tier at the very top. Like, you can, I guess, even throw in Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor into that group at the very, very top of the first round for running backs. But if you're talking about round two, you know, maybe the Devon Achane tier with the Dolphins, that's around where typically I've seen someone like Omarion Hampton going. I think he's a breakout candidate for that Chargers offense. You know, I think a lot of people are deciding that we should probably buy stock in the Chargers offense this upcoming season. Justin Herbert, Mike McDaniel is now there as the offensive coordinator.
Right. Curious to see what he can do there.
And they've got some pretty spicy weapons around Herbert. But if you're going to be buying stock in, you know, the passing attack, you might also want to buy stock in Coach Harbaugh's rushing attack, which should be helmed and led by Omarion Hampton.
And looking at the Texans-Raiders game tonight, I'm assuming we're going to see Mendoza in action. Had a pretty good showing his first game. We'll see if he can obviously string two games together. Curious to see how his performance is. And will the Raiders end up kind of opting to go with him week one of the season, or they still turn to Kirk?
I still think they're going to wait, but I don't think it's going to be long. I think the question that Bobby brought up, I don't remember if it was last week or earlier this week, about are we going to see Fernando Mendoza in week three?
Week three, right.
I think that might be a legitimate conversation. But right off the bat in week one, I would expect to see Kirk. And eventually Fernando will get his opportunity to start. It's just a matter of when, if not if. Like, probably more closer to the midway point of the season, like what happened with the Drake May, like what happened with the Tyler Shuck, so to speak. That's what I would expect from Fernando, where he doesn't have to get thrown into the fire right off the bat, kind of adjust to the NFL game a little bit himself. It's just a matter of, will he be the guy in week three? I would guess no, but I guess we'll have to see.
And other news, too, before we go to break. Yesterday was the Texans wide receiver Jaden Higgins being one of the latest injuries in preseason action. Suffered a torn ACL yesterday. Just brutal news right there.
It's rough for them.
And we've seen it around the league. I know everyone's Saints-centric because we're so focused on the home team. But, man, just football's brutal.
I just want the regular season to be here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so tired of seeing preseason injuries, whether it be the Saints, whether it be other teams. There's so many talented guys that are going down. Jaden Higgins was an intriguing potential breakout piece. You know, now that wide receiver room really does feel like Nico Collins and friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the talent and experience of the Texans wide receiver group past Nico, it is a lot of question marks, man. So that's tough for them.
And have you seen any talk about how C.J. Stroud's been looking right now this offseason? Because, man, oh, man, he was just getting dogged last year, and for good reason.
Yeah, exactly. And when you lose, I mean, Tank Dell's obviously been out because his knee's completely exploded. But now Higgins going down as well. The receivers that he's having to throw to are not very talented outside of Nico Collins. So they better hope that Nico stays healthy, because otherwise that is going to be a significant drop-off.
We're
going to
check in with our black and gold correspondent, Mike Hawes, voice of the Saints, who's out in California. Watch today's joint practice between the Rams and the black and gold, and they'll square off on Saturday, 3 p.m. right here on WWL Saints Radio and preseason game number 2. Break-in, be right back after this. Keep it locked right here. Saints football, folks, is on the road this week on the West Coast. The black and gold taking on the Rams in L.A. Saturday. Game day begins 11 a.m. with First Take with me and Charlie Long. Countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, 1 o'clock. Game time with Deuce and Mike Haas, along with Jeff Nowak on the sideline at 3 p.m. And then the point after with the Cajun Cannon till 9 p.m. Saints, Rams, catch all the excitement Saturday right here on WWL. And, of course, the free Odyssey app, helping us break down things out on the left coast. The voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, joining us here right now on WWL Saints Radio. Man, how's it going out there, Mike? I know it was a lot more work actually got in today than on Tuesday's section. It's amazing that there weren't any fights breaking out all over the place like we saw against the Cowboys.
Yeah, today was like Tuesday was a circus. Today was a debate. Right? I mean, it was football, because we did this with the Rams last year. And quite frankly, the joint practices from the Chargers a few years ago, you know, and then last year, and then Jacksonville today, it's like, that's what they are. Maybe there's a skirmish. And then Tuesday is a battle royale. Like, what in the, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I've been doing this a long time. The only thing even close to it was like in the, I don't know, mid-90s with Mora, and the Saints were practicing with Kansas City, and they quit. They had to stop it. They shut it down. There were so many fights. But that's, 40 years ago. That's the last time. Because the joint practices are controlled. That's why they do this. That one, I don't know, it was like everybody showed up with road rage. I couldn't, you know, it was a different atmosphere. Although I felt both teams got, you know, fine the same. I go back and look at that video. I go back and I felt it was, you know, maybe I'm partial. I didn't feel it was 50-50. I just didn't feel it was 50-50, but it is what it is. And so, but that was the aberration. Today was work, man, just flat out. And mostly team session, very little other than team, special team. And that's what you want out of these sessions. Just work. 2 hours. It was, you know, for them, you know, it was inland. Woodland Hills is inland, and it was hot. It was a pretty warm day. It was in the 90s. But you got your work done, you got on the bus, and you went back to the hotel. It's the way it should be.
Mike, curious, this is now the Saints' third joint practice in about a week. How's the team holding up with these physical days stacking up against them?
I think, okay, this is not, even Kellen said it today, this is probably not in a perfect world how you would draw it up, right? You wouldn't draw up three joint practices and two preseason games. That's five events in 10 days. Probably not how you draw it up. That's just kind of how it worked out. So, you know, some people went down. I mean, Ridgeway left. Ruiz was a little banged up. Dallas Beanham, Oscar Delp was kind of in and out. But I think he's going to be okay. There was nothing that I would call, you know, serious. Although I will say that it's also hard to tell what's serious anymore. You know, guys kind of walk off the field, look like they're going to the restroom, and then they're done for the year. It's a little different. But it's been really, I think I was more worried about people getting hurt during the fights
right.
than I was in any of the practice plays today, right? You're not very rarely tackling to the ground. And so, yeah, I think that just, you know, I don't know. You know, if I knew the exact situation with Quincy Riley, he's your starter. With Alvin, we know Jordan's going to be out 8 weeks. So it's, but that could have, you know, that can happen anywhere at any time. Look at, you know, Brian Brzee. He wasn't doing anything, right? You know, so it can happen. It's just you put yourself in a situation with this much physicality in a short span of time. Like tomorrow will be a walkthrough just like yesterday. So I think, you know, I don't know what the bar is for coming out okay. So we'll have to wait and see the kind of if these how long these kind of injuries linger, but that could have happened at any point. So I think part of this was you are opening up in Detroit and in Baltimore against two of the most, you know, physical football teams out there, and you want your team ready. And I think this stretch, if they can get through Saturday and get through, you know, Dallas the following week, which again, I don't think that's going to be anything like the practice. We're playing the dang guy, you know, guys on the field. Well, you won't have any fights, I bet. You know, maybe one. But I think if they can battle through this, you're going to have a really battle-tested team because of the physicality.
You know, Mike, we talked with Nowak earlier on in the show. Jeff had watched the Saints offense, and he had some good reports to give about Devon Vele and Bryce Lance on his birthday having a really strong showing against the Rams defense. Just want to get your thoughts, because you got to watch the Saints defense against the Rams offense. When we were speaking with Greg Beecham, who covers the Rams for the LA or for the Associated Press, he had talked about Matt Stafford getting the work in these joint workouts instead of playing in the preseason. There's no reason to play the MVP in the preseason, especially at this point in his career. What do you saw from the Saints starting defense against the Rams offense and, you know, the firepower that they can present?
Well, I would say that the Saints, like many NFL teams, do not have an answer for Matt Stafford and Davante Adams. Like, they are, man, peanut butter and jelly. They Stafford, you know, went deep, didn't go deep too much to him, but a couple of times. But man, they connected, you know, in the flat across the middle, out patterns. I mean, that's a tough combination. But I say that, Carl Granderson had a great PBU of Stafford. Chase Young had his classic sacks. Chase Young sacks now, I think it's become the game to him, because he gets there sometimes so fast, is that he gets to the quarterback, doesn't run past him and touch him like it's a sack. He stands next to him, reaches his arm out, and touches the quarterback. Like, hey, I'm here, touch, right? Devon Godshaw had a sack of Stafford. So they did a pretty good job putting some pressure on him. They did better against Ty Simpson and Stetson Bennett, the backups. Deion Jones had a good day. From a backup standpoint, there were a couple of picks of Ty Simpson. He did not have a great day. His first pass was picked off by T.J. Hall, and he had one later picked off by Dallas Beanham, but he got hurt on the play. Not really sure the significance or seriousness of that injury, but, man, Stafford is tough. He gets rid of it so fast, right? So it's really – it's hard to get pressure on him. But from the Saints, I thought did a pretty good job with Godshaw, Chase, and Grando getting to him, or at least, you know, getting in his face enough. But he works his tight ends, you know, seam routes, nothing deep, really not a whole lot deep. But, man, they just really – they work the underneath stuff so well. But that's what the Saints want. But if you're going to, you know, get that test, you're going to get it. You want to do it against the best, and they got the test today of one of the better offenses working that short game.
Mike, you know, daily we're constantly getting worried about these injury updates that we've been getting coming out of practices. Besides Cesar Ruiz, and I know John Ridgeway, was there any other additional injury updates that were out there today?
Just, I know Dallas Beanham got hurt. I don't know what it was. It was actually on a play where he made an interception. He made the interception downfield on a deep pass. I don't have any, you know, it felt like it was a leg. Oscar Delp was in the blue tent some, and I asked Kellen afterwards, like, because he didn't mention Oscar, and he was, Oscar's fine. He was in the blue tent, out of the blue tent, in the blue tent, out of the blue tent, but he was fine. So I have to wait and see. It's kind of, these joint practices are a little different. Like the blue tent, is a blue tint. You see the guy, right? And so, you know, you don't report on anything that's kind of really going on, but you see the guy go into the tent. It's a little different. But so it's hard to tell, right? On Ridgeway and Caesar came back out and, you know, was on the sideline. You really don't know much about these injuries day one, right? And tomorrow's a closed walkthrough. We won't talk to him then. So the next time we talk to
– Oh, darn, a day off, play, right?
Right, starters won't play on Saturday. And so even when you – it's hard to tell, you know, who didn't play because they were injured, who didn't play. So really, it won't be till Saturday after the game that you get any kind of updates on these guys. Now, if Dallas Beanham doesn't play because he was going to play – right, Caesar wasn't going to play at all. I don't think Ridgeway would have played, maybe some, but he's been kind of banged up anyway. So it's really kind of hard to tell. And you know, Kellen's pretty good at kind of talking around it, and you don't really know because he doesn't know the length of it or the severity of it. But by Saturday, you know, they're heading back. Right? It's Sunday they're off. Monday. So all of a sudden, we're sitting here on Thursday, and we may not find out a lot about these injuries until Monday. Hopefully, they will not be serious. They didn't look serious, but again, it's really hard to tell these days.
You know, Mike, I'm glad you brought up when talking about the passing game, specifically going up against these tight ends, because the Rams, like we talked with Greg Beecham last hour about it, have really kind of started, Sean McVay specifically, the 13 personnel that's kind of in vogue. We saw all the tight ends get drafted in this past year's draft, especially on like day two where there was just a run on them, which was pretty crazy. The Saints ended up getting one of their own with Oscar Delp during that stretch. But specifically the tight end room for the Rams is one of those spots that I think is really good for the Saints to go up against, where there's not like a Brock Bowers or, you know, maybe a Trey McBride or anything like that. They still have, you know, a couple of really good Wiley veterans and Colby Parkinson and Tyler Higbee to go alongside some rising young players that they took. They used two straight second round picks on, you know, Terrence Ferguson last year, and then this year Max Clair out of Ohio State. So going up against a group like that, I think it's really, really beneficial for the Saints as the NFL kind of moves towards these heavier packages around the league.
Yeah, I was watching because obviously I was watching the Rams offense. They used 13 a couple of times today, and they kind of do it like sometimes you and I talk about. They'll set up with 13 and then bring one of the tight ends into the fullback role, right? It's a running play. But you're right. I mean, you talk about you just also learn about the depth of the wide receiver position and the tight end position, because the Rams also selected a wide receiver D6, just like the Saints selected Barrion Brown in the sixth round and against Jacksonville. They had two wide receivers in the sixth round. I think this was a deep draft for tight ends and wide receivers, because Jacksonville had a tight end drafted early. And it means you're using, like you say, D2, D3. And so you're right. We won't see Terrence Ferguson or Higbee or Parkinson, but today was good work because Stafford likes to find Terrence Ferguson. He's kind of a wide receiver-ish, if you will, tight end. He's 6'5", but he has a lot of Juwan Johnson-type skills. But they still got some young guys, Rohan Jones, Dan Villery, Max Clair, we'll see, you know, on Saturday out of Ohio State. And, that's a challenge for this linebacking core, you know, covering those tight ends. It won't be Stafford, but you'll still have those tight ends out there.
Mike, when you're looking at the Saints quarterback situation going into this game, we're kind of waiting to see who's going to end up starting between Spencer Rattler and Kyle Wilson. Curious to see how that shakes out. But are we going to see Tyler Shuck in action in game three against Dallas even? Or is it just pretty much what we're getting in these joint workouts is his, I guess, preseason work, so to say?
I don't know. We've had about 7 90-minute car rides in this for these practices. Right? It's like everything. They're not far away. They're 23 miles away.
Right.
9 minutes. It's like, this is insanity. And so we have talked to Deuce about it ad nauseum. It's like, first of all, I believe Zach will start Saturday.
right? And I just feel like they want to see what that looks like. I feel like it's a closer battle just because of the way he played against Jacksonville. So then you look at the Shuck situation. So it's a short week after this. There's no joint practices. And so if you're going to play him, and this is kind of a conversation we've all been having, so are you going to play him? Then you're going to play your starting offensive line. And if you're going to play him for a series, okay, well, what if it's a three and out, right? Well, then what are we doing? Then there's two series. And then, you know, there's to me, and this is just my opinion, there's got to be the pros have to outweigh the cons. Like, I know he can throw to Chris Olave. We've seen it. I know he can throw to Vele. We've seen it. I know he can throw to all these guys on the roster. So if he comes in to throw three passes to Oscar Delp or to throw a pass to Bryce Lance, who he's probably not going to be throwing to in the regular season, what is the point? So I don't know. The way this is a very unique preseason. You do not have three joint practices and two preseason games because this third because I think in a normal, whatever a normal world is, this preseason game, this Rams game, if you take out the joint practices, Tyler Shuck starts, probably plays a quarter and a half with the starters. And then you don't see him against Dallas. But the way things have shaped up, I don't, if you're going to play him a quarter and a half, which I don't think is even reasonable to even talk about, then okay. But if you're not, what's the point? He's not going to be thrown to Jordan. He's not going to be thrown to Chris Olave. So
yeah, because Mike too, I got to wonder how can
I don't know, but I that's my thought.
I was going to say, Mike, how concerned maybe the team is too, like some of the nonsense from Tuesday's joint workout with Dallas could even spill over into next Friday's preseason game.
Right, I'd be surprised just because I think that because you know the players didn't get fired, the teams got fired. I'd be like, hey, little team meeting here, beeps, we ain't doing that again. And so I'd be surprised, you know. And so you're right, but you know, all it takes is some, you know, guy trying to make a name for himself, some third string linebacker to come take a shot at Shuck. And I just don't, you know, at this point, I've seen enough. I've seen more than enough of Tyler Shuck. He's ready to start against the Detroit Lions. Let's get to the 53, and then let's take a good 2 weeks to, you know, that first week you're installed, and then you're in your 53. You have a full 2 weeks of that post cuts. Now you can make an argument that the guy should play and get tackled and face it, and I don't know. There's both sides of that coin. I just don't. To me, what could happen doesn't outweigh the bad things that can happen. I'm not saying they will, but I think there's quite a battle going on between Spencer and Zach. I don't know that that's going to be decided, you know, Saturday and maybe in the Dallas game. I feel like that's an important position. We've seen it. You know, a few years ago, Derek Carr started all 17, but you know, he got hurt in three of them. But just it doesn't happen. It's an aberration. I don't know why I keep saying aberration, but it's an aberration to have your starter go 17. So Spencer or Zach Wilson's going to play. One of those two guys needs to be, you know, ready to come in and win games. And it's probably a closer. I think Spencer's had a heck of a camp, but Zach Wilson had a pretty good game against Jacksonville. So I want to see them. I mean, it's twos against twos, but that's just the way it is. Same thing with Rams. Rams have had two joint practices with Dallas last weekend and then with us. You know, they're getting ready for Australia, for God's sake. They got so I don't know. I don't. The answer is, will he? I don't know. Should he? In my world, no.
It's one of those funny situations where I think the Saints have way more of an interesting quarterback conversation for this upcoming game against the Rams than the Rams do. Like, the Rams are going to throw Stetson Bennett out there for a little bit, and then Ty Simpson is going to be taking over the show. But for the Saints, you know, it's different answers that we've got from you and Nowak about who's going to be the starter. Kellen was very coy about it. He's just like, yeah, we're going to discuss it and figure out what we're going to do. They'll probably make that decision either tonight or tomorrow about who the starter is going to technically be. I don't think that it really matters all that much towards this, you know, battle, because I think it's going to last through the third preseason game as well, Mike. But the games have to matter. Even if Spencer does look better in practice at points than Zach, you know, it was definitely a slow start for him. So look for him to potentially try to bounce back here against the Rams as he tries to win that backup role.
Yeah, he just, it wasn't like, I mean, he was 8 of 11 for 42. Just didn't have a really kind of, you know, downfield. He had a couple of sacks. Didn't really just have the downfield that Zach did. Zach was 11 of 16. Spencer was 8 of 11. So you're right. I think, you know, I don't know how much more we'll see Hunter. You know, he played, you know, he hadn't even really practiced and played more in the preseason game with Jacksonville. So you're right. I think that position, and they've both had really strong camps, but it's such an important position that you're gonna have, this one's going to have to play itself out. I don't, you know, and Tyler's ready. Rams, Dallas, Jacksonville, you know, those are three games for the most part. 90 plays. Jacksonville, not nearly as many plays against Dallas, and I don't know the number of plays today, but, man, it was phenomenal work. So, yeah, I mean, Spencer, Zach Wilson, you know, I'm not even sure that the maybe the winner is the number two. I don't know that maybe the loser of this battle makes it through the practice squad. Maybe he gets traded. Who knows? I have no idea. But it's an important battle that has to play out in these two preseason games.
Mike, now maybe the toughest question for you, the most important, I'll say. Have you had a good meal out in California yet? What's the food scene been like?
We had a good dinner last night at this place called Killer Shrimp. And they put shrimp, it's kind of like our version of barbecue shrimp.
Where okay.
It's in the sauce. And they give you a bucket of bread. A bucket of bread that you dip into the sauce. And it was spicy, and I'm like, yeah, spicy, bring it on. But that was really good. So last night's meal, Jeff and I, at a place called Killer Shrimp was pretty good. Other than that, it's just been, you know, catch as catch can, baby.
Definitely appreciate the time, Mike. Enjoy the time out there, and looking forward to the call on Saturday. Look forward to hearing more from you. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Haas, voice of the Saints, joining us there from California. Killer Shrimp. I mean, it's always tough this time, Charlie. It's, you know, dinner time. I did no favors to myself talking about food right now.
Yeah, I don't know why you did that to yourself, Steve. Now I'm thinking about shrimp.
At least I got some trail mix I'll dive into. We're going to take a break. Coming back with more sports talk. Keep it locked right here on WWL Saints Radio. Wherever the day takes you, take WWL along. Listen live to your favorite WWL shows, plus the news, weather, traffic, and all the local coverage you count on every single day. You got to open the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps and search for WWL. Staying connected has never been easier. Going to take a break, come back with even more of sports talk right after this on WWL. Things getting ready to kick off in Houston, Texas, as the Texans are taking on the Raiders to open preseason action of Week 2. Also a game this evening between, over on the West Coast, but not the Saints. It'll be the Chargers and 49ers duking it out there. Black and gold action will be Saturday versus the LA Rams, a 3 o'clock kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio. Got another hour to go here on Sports Talk. We're going to get into our WWL Soundbank brought to you by First American Bank next hour. Going to have head coach Lane Kiffin, LSU sound to get to, plus all kinds of Saints sound. Head coach Kellen Moore, corner Kool-Aid McKinstry, left tackle Kelvin Banks, and a whole lot more. Keep it locked right here for the latest and greatest on LSU and the Saints. Coming top of the hour news break, and then we'll be back with one more hour of sports talk right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Who dat, folks?